You can almost hear the incredulity in Pilate's voice. Are you the king of the Jews? You don't look like any king I've ever seen. Or maybe he thought that this beaten day laborer from Galilee is what passes for muster as a king in this backwater province of the Roman Empire. Perhaps his question went like this: are you the king of the Jews? But maybe he thought these poor Judeans have just never seen a real king. Pilate had seen a real king. Tiberius Caesar gave him his job, and by that point he'd been emperor of Rome for a little bit. Caesar, that's a king. Caesar knew how to get things done. If he wanted something, he took it. If the people who had it didn't want to give it, he'd just kill them. And if they didn't want to die quickly, he'd kill them slowly. It didn't matter to Caesar. Caesar was a king. But Jesus, he was an itinerant preacher whose family thought he was crazy. A day laborer who'd go around with a bunch of young roughnecks through the hillsides of Judea. A Galilean from the backwater of a backwater. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That was the way people from Judea talked about where he was from. He'd cause mass disturbances. Jesus was a lot of things in the eyes of Rome: a criminal, a troublemaker, mostly an annoyance. But he was certainly no king. But the truth is, he is a king. He's the kingiest king who ever did king. His majesty is unequaled. His glory is unmatched. And yet his method of ruling is unknown in most quarters. Whereas most kings demand things like taxes, loyalty to a fault, King Jesus demands things like die to yourself, pick up your cross, love one another as I have loved you, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile. Just what kind of a king is this? I mean, arguably the most famous image of Jesus is of him upon the cross mid-execution. And what kind of people are we that we look upon him who is most known for an image of what the world would consider an objective weakness? We look at him and we say, this is the horse I'm betting on. A people who see our king beaten, despised, brutally slaughtered, and say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But here we are, sitting in church on a Sunday morning when we could be doing literally anything else. And whether we fully realize it or not, there is something about this King Jesus that calls us deeper. Now, we all invariably bow at the altar of other kings, but we still come here. We still try, poor as our attempts might be, to follow Jesus as he has told us to follow him. And we fail, and then we get back up and we give it another go. And I'm here to tell you that these kinds of choices, these small daily acts of trying and failing and trying again, these are the choices that make all the difference. When we choose in the face of adversity, in the face of fear, in the face of God's silence, when we choose to follow God, we are doing something incredible. And I mean that literally and figuratively. C.S. Lewis, whose feast day was last week, wrote a number of books that people have come to cherish. And one such book that maybe you've not read before is The Screwtape Letters. Now, if you're not familiar, a quick summary. It's about a demon in hell whose name is Wormwood, and he's learning to terrorize humans. And we learn how he's doing through a correspondence that Wormwood has with his uncle, a senior demon named Screwtape. Now, Lewis makes a number of astute theological observations through the mouths of the demons, who, of course, are speaking of these things in a negative way. They lament God's love. They despise God's will, and they loathe God's creation, humans especially. And God is consistently referred to in Screwtape as the enemy. And so one letter says, "Do not be deceived, Wormwood. Our cause," that's the demonic cause, "is never more in danger than when a human, no longer desiring but still intending to do our enemy's will, looks round upon a universe from which every trace of him seems to have vanished, and asks why he has been forsaken, and still obeys." Behaving as if Christ is king is a danger to the demons, to be sure. Hell trembles every time a Christian tries again to be who God made her to be. But beyond being a danger to hell, it is an enigma to the world. Because our loyalty to this crucified God makes the world scratch their collective heads. The petty tyrants cannot fathom a crucified king. And yet we would have none other. So here hangs our king. What does it mean to confess him as such? It means, among other things, that we take God's account of reality more seriously than we take Caesar's. It means that we take Christ more seriously than we take ourselves. Beyond this, it means that we can live without fear, and failing that, that at the very least we can live with courage. We can risk failure because the battle is already won. We can risk reaching out to one another and those outside these walls with love and care. Put simply, because Christ is Lord and not Caesar, we can risk loving one another just a little bit more. And when we do that, when we love who Jesus loves, when the things that break his heart breaks our hearts, when we weep at the grave of a friend or gather around the table with the dregs of society or give just a bit of time to those whose time is running out or just a bit of money to those whose luck has far ran out or a good word to those who can hear it or presents to those who cannot, we let Christ's kingship shine through us. As those who are baptized, we share in Christ's kingship and in his priesthood. And this is perhaps one of the most confounding aspects of Christ's kingship. He wants to share his power. Think about that. The rulers of the world hoard power for their own sakes. Politics is all about banking political capital, never spending it. And Christ is here to share his power. He is himself power, and he seeks to give himself to those who would be his followers. As Screwtape said, he really does want to fill the universe with a lot of loathsome little replicas of himself. Creatures whose life on a miniature scale will be qualitatively like his own, not because he absorbed them, but because their wills freely conform to his. We want cattle who can finally become food. He wants servants who can finally become sons. And I would add daughters. When Christ responds to Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world, he's not saying that his kingdom exists somewhere else. He's saying that his kingdom is of a quality different from this world. It is a new creation. It is something unlike any kingdom or anything we have ever seen. And it's not built on force like the kingdoms of this world. Force isn't power. Coercion isn't power. Power is not won in an argument. Like a lamb before his shears, he was silent. Or an election, we remember that the crowd voted for Barabbas. Or even a war. Caesar was a brilliant strategician, but where is he today? True power is found in surrender. Even when confidence is lacking, even when the nails pierce your flesh and all hope seems lost, and yet before the rock can settle on the tomb, it cracks open and becomes a gateway to the kingdom. It is a kingdom where virgins are mothers, where the dead are raised, where the three are one, where abundance is the rule and not the exception, where those who die to themselves are the ones who truly live, where bread is flesh and wine is blood and the keys to eternal life take the form of nails that pierce the hands that molded the hills and gave birth to the stars. And so this is our King. And we should crown him with many crowns, the crowns of our lives. We should have him as the ruler of our hearts. And through the sacrifice and repentance, we announce to the world that we belong to a different kingdom. And in doing so, we confess a mystery to the world, that Christ is King, Christ the crucified, and yet living Son of God, is the King of the universe. As one of my favorite hymns says, "Therefore he who shows us God helpless hangs upon the tree, and the nails and crown of thorns tell of what God's love must be. Here is God, no monarch he, throned in easy state to reign. Here is God, whose arms of love, aching, spent, the world sustain."
Amen.